to start to do this. Tune your time, tune your days. And this is one thing you can do. Another thing that I have to, I can't skip. Moses is the man of God. Guess what he's doing? He's praying. He's calling up on God. I know I don't have the capacity to deal with these things. You know what? Somebody might be thinking, oh, I'm not that intelligent. I'm not that smart. I don't have that much going on. Don't have that much money. You might be looking at all your inadequacies in life. You know, but God has everything.
Pastor Landis Fisher, Bible teacher on Teaching Bible Radio. Today's lesson is an excerpt from a teaching that will help tune your focus on being more like Christ, which is an impossible task without the help of the Spirit of God. This message is available in its entirety on teachingbible.org. Stay tuned for this edition of Teaching Bible Radio and for our mailing address and toll-free number at the end of the broadcast. And we certainly hope you will enjoy this edition of Teaching Bible Radio. Amen. Welcome to Teaching Bible Radio, the radio ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri, featuring pastor-teacher Landis Fisher, exploring your world through the Word of God. Let's join our teacher for another thought-provoking adventure from the Bible, which is available in its entirety online at teachingbible.org. Here's our teacher, Pastor
Fisher. We are talking about deepening our relationship with God. Amen. And I thought about everything that went on this year and all that we had been through. Everything. There's been lots of changes and things that went on. A lot of stuff went on in the world and the secular world and even in my life personally, and I'm sure it has in yours as well. And I thought through, well, what is the most important thing? You know, every year they like to take and show you all the different stuff that happened all year. We'll be seeing that the next few days. And they go back and recap the sports and secular events and the politics and all kinds of things, even what the people in the entertainment world were doing and so on and so forth. And we get all that around this time every year. And so what I wanted us to do is think about, I thought about all that. I thought it was very little that can be done about any of that. We can remember all that stuff, and maybe we can learn from some people's mistakes and maybe even from our own as we come into a new year. But what is the most important thing? Now that you and I have been born again, those of you who have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior, what should we be thinking about? And the thing that hit me the most as I prayed on this message is deepening my relationship with God. I like to know God better. You know what? God wants to know us better. That's the secret to it. And if there's any break in our relationship, or if there's anything keeping us at a distance from God, it's not coming from His end. And so I just wanted to talk about that today. And actually, the problem is on our end if we're not walking closer with God. And so what can we do? You know, a lot of times we look at the year and we disqualify ourselves with things and we say, oh, well, I did this and I should have done that. And we kick our own selves around. Well, I want to let you know that if you've trusted in Christ as your Savior, if you have believed in the Messiah, God has accepted you. Jesus said, whosoever comes to me, that I will in no wise cast him out. He's not looking to put us out. We're not in trouble with God, even though we may not be doing everything perfectly, you see. And we can always do better. Everything we do, we can always do better. And so God keeps us. Now, you know, a lot of times the things I just said drive people away from the church. And people shouldn't run from the church. When you get conviction about what God is teaching you and what he says in his word, that's a good thing. You know, I think about it because I remember I used to not have any conviction at all. I went through life just doing whatever I kind of wanted to do and didn't really think about, is this a good thing, a bad thing? Does this glorify Christ or not? And now I do. So when I find myself being convicted by the word, then that's a good thing, because it's showing me that this is an area that I could tighten up and improve and be a little more Christ-like. And of course, the goal of being a Christian is to be Christ-like. We want to be like Christ. Christ is the one who came and perfectly satisfied the Father, so we all can learn from him these things. Now, Moses, who didn't have as clear of a view of the gospel, like we mentioned in the poem that was read earlier, he had a close relationship with God. And it's an interesting thing to look at the relationship of Moses, who writes this psalm that Brother Jameson read for you at the beginning. And this prayer of Moses, as it is called, the man of God, says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. He acknowledges God the Father, that you are the one, the creator of everything. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever hadst thou formed the earth or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. See, so he's not in question about how the world got here. We got people today who are, you know, but in the days of Moses, he understood God was the creator, and that we live and move and have our being within him. You see that? And so he says, thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight is but as yesterday when it's past. 1,000 years doesn't mean much to God, much less 1 year as far as time is concerned, because he's outside of time. He's the eternal God. That's why he, when Moses asked, who should I tell them sent me, say, I am. He said, because I am, I'm all the time. I just exist, you see. And so God is there all the time. He's the only one who is an eternally existing being. You know, everything else has a beginning and an end, but God is the beginning and the end, the circle of life. He is the Alpha and the Omega, as he said, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. So Moses acknowledges God as creator. And so you can see his relationship with God is anchored in the fact that God is able to handle everything, because he is the eternal God who exists outside of time. And 1,000 years, what is that to God? A drop in the bucket, as his, as we would say in our time. And so he says this, verse number 5, Psalm 90:5, thou carriest them away as with a flood. They are as asleep in the morning. They are like grass which groweth up. You know, grass is comes up. I heard, I think the thing I heard the most about that, how this whole metaphor goes, that I like the most, I heard from Dr. David Jeremiah. He, when he talks about the grass, he says the grass is sown, grown, mown, and gone. And I think that's about right. The grass is very brief. It comes, you sow it, then it grows, then you mow it, you cut it down, and it's gone. That's it. And it just comes for a short time, you know, and you have to keep on doing it over and over. So he uses grass, which is something we all understand as a very brief metaphor of how it comes and goes, to talk about how people come and go in the world. He says, in the morning it flourisheth and it groweth up, in the evening it is cut down and it withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger and thy wrath. By thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, and our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told, like just a quick little story, basically. He says the days of our years are 70. 70. 70, each score is 20 years. 60 and 10, he says. And if by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80 years. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow, and it is soon cut off, and we fly away. He says, even if we make it 80 years, it doesn't seem like much time to God. And so he's just talking about the brevity of this life, and for us to get our minds on what really is important, because we really don't know those things. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Nobody knows the power of the wrath of God. Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath, he says in verse 11. So this is what Moses' prayer is. After all this analysis, he's kind of at the same place we are here at the end of this year. He says, so teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Help us to see what is really important in this world and needs to be done, that we can get worked out. Teach us to number our days, to count these days and make them all count.
Teaching Bible Radio is listener-funded radio. Call to make a tax-deductible donation at 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-35-BIBLE. Or numerically, that's 1-877-352-4253. Your support is crucial, especially on our new stations. Please call 1-877-35-BIBLE or go online to teachingbible.org, where you'll find this message in its entirety. Online, teachingbible.org. Now back to our teacher, Pastor Landis Fisher, Teaching Bible Radio.
Make them all important. Make every day important. Bless somebody every day. Do something to draw closer to God every day. See those things that are really important. Separate the frivolous from that which is important. See, and teach us to number our days so we don't waste away our time, because we don't have a lot of time, God. So tune us in on what is really your plan. Help us to flow with you in your plan and in your purpose. And so this is what I was praying for the coming year for the whole church, and especially for myself and my own family. I'd like to see us start to do this. Tune your time, tune your days. And this is one thing you can do. Another thing that I can't skip, Moses is the man of God. Guess what he's doing? He's praying. He's calling up on God. I know I don't have the capacity to deal with these things. You know what? Somebody might be thinking, oh, I'm not that intelligent. I'm not that smart. I don't have that much going on. Don't have that much money. You might be looking at all your inadequacies in life. You know, but God has everything. That's the thing we have to remember. He's not lacking in knowledge. He's not lacking in understanding. And he's there. He said, if you ask me in faith without any doubting, he said in the book of James, that you know you have it. I'll give it to you. I'll give you wisdom. If any of you lack wisdom, James 1:5 says, ask of me. So we don't have any lack of wisdom. You know, if we really think about it, God is our Father. We can ask him for anything. He said, if you lack wisdom, ask me and I'll give it to you. But ask in faith. That's the only stipulation, is that God wants us to know that he's there and that he will do what he promised. Ask in faith without any doubting, for the one who doubts is like a surf, the surf of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. He said, don't be wishy-washy. When you come to me, know I'm God, I'm in charge. If you ask in faith, I'll give you the wisdom that you need for every matter in life. And so Moses knows that. He says, teach us to number our days, that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, keep in mind, my the best definition I can come up with for wisdom is more than knowledge. It's more than understanding. I would say it's knowledge and understanding used to the glory of God. That's true wisdom. When you take whatever it is that you do and you do it to the glory of God, that's what really is really true wisdom, actually. Because a lot of people that are in the world have knowledge, they have understanding, they're pretty smart about a lot of things, but they're not attempting to glorify God. So whatever they do is going to come to naught anyway, because they're working in opposition to the Most High God. So he says here that teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And let it repent thee concerning thy servants, he says here. Oh, satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. See, so even though we have trouble, we want to ask God for rejoicing. And for mercy, you know, we always need mercy. I know I do. I can't speak for you. I'd imagine you do too, if you're like me. You need mercy because we don't do everything right. And so it's a good thing that God is plenteous in mercy, that he has abundant mercy, and he has chosen to give it to those who trust in him. So we shouldn't feel bad if we need mercy. Thank God that he is a merciful God. And ask him to come and cleanse you and help you in everything that you need. He says, make us glad. We should have joy. We shouldn't be going around like that. That in the poem there, it says to get rid of your blues, because, you know, Jesus came. He already suffered and died, rose from the dead. God has made that plain. So what are you worried about? Don't be worried. That's a wasted time. Put that in the waste category and show me something constructive I can do rather than worry. And I always ask people, who is worry to? Who does that go to? I don't know who worry goes to. It doesn't go, shouldn't go to God, but prayer goes to God. So pray rather than worry, and worry, figure out how you're going to do things. Ask for wisdom. If you don't know, God's going to make a way, because he promised that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, Romans 8:18. And so we see here, he says, make us glad. We ought to go around being glad who we are, that God has selected us and given us the revelation of the gospel of his son. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants. God always does that to me. I look around every time I see something else fantastic. I say, the first thing comes to my mind, look how awesome God is, that he made this thing be like it is. I've seen some incredible things, just various things in the creation that God has made, and even in the word, the way he put things in the word, and the way you discover more about God the more you pray and the more you seek his face. And every time you do, you glorify the Lord, and so his work appears. It just comes up like as if out of nowhere. And we can see that God is on the throne. He's in charge.
St. Louis, Missouri 63135. Call us toll free 1-877-35-BIBLE. That's 1-877-352-4253, or visit us online at teachingbible.org, a ministry of Straight Gate Ministries, St. Louis, Missouri.